This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning.
Good morning.
Bob, great to have you back. I'm Igor. This is Bob Harris. And this is The Gardening Show. And back for another year of exciting gardening action.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. I'm real good.
Okay. And by the way, we always have the phone lines open. We should say that right off the bat.
Yeah.
So if anybody has a question, a gardening question for Bob, you've been at it for how many years? About 12 years?
Oh, no. More than double that.
368-9372. Well, you have to dial 814 now. So 814-368-9372. Bob, what's on the agenda today?
Okay, I wanted to start right from the beginning because I know there's still a lot of new gardeners. And then plus, a lot of old gardeners need to be reminded, like myself. So I'll start with the soil because that is the most important part of gardening, the soil. The better your soil, the better the results you'll have in the long run. And we have kind of a particular area here in Bradford. Now, a lot of us have clay-based soil. And so I'm going to help you with that. But to start with, you know, if we live on a hillside, we're probably going to hit the clay and the shale. If we live in the bottoms and the flat areas, chances are we probably already got a good thick layer of topsoil. So I'm going to concentrate on the people that live on the hillsides because they have it a little bit rougher.
I have clay and boulders. That's boulders. My soil.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
That's my soil.
But it all can be corrected without digging all the soil out and then trucking some new soil in. So let me explain that even a little bit closer. That can be a big mistake to dig a great big hole, you know, getting rid of all that clay and shale and rocks and then bringing good topsoil in. Because what we have created is a pond, underground pond. So we dig out that hole, all the clay, remove it, toss it away. Now, every time it rains or we water, that area is going to collect water. And they have a term for it. It's called perched water table. Even no matter what kind of soil you put in there, it still will collect water. And when we do something like that, when collect water and it stays in there for more than a few days, which could happen during that situation, is methane gas builds up and it starts to get released and goes up into the plant roots or the plant itself, and they don't like to breathe methane gas. Matter of fact, it can be disastrous for them. So it's a good idea not to dig out. What are we doing? Okay, still?
Well, we have a phone call, so I was kind of setting that up.
Well, let's take the phone call then.
Well, I was going to wait till you were done, you know.
Oh, no problem. I can restart.
Okay. All right. 368-WESB. And good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do. Bob, welcome back. And it's not about the soil. It's about, I'm going back to last fall.
Okay.
You know, I had one, the amaryllis bulb or whatever.
Yeah.
And when I first got it, and I bring it out in the wintertime and it bloomed. But the last 2 years, all it did was only the leaves came up.
Okay.
Nothing else came up.
Uh-huh.
What do I need to do?
Okay. You need to change the soil on the bulb. Not all the soil, but scrape off as much as you possibly can. Give it a lot of fresh soil. Probably a bigger pot. And then you need to fertilize it. Need to fertilize it while it's growing. If it's not growing, don't fertilize it. But when it's actively growing, keep it watered and fertilized very well.
Okay. And the second thing is, last fall, I did, like, you know, we planted the bulbs in the pots.
Yeah.
And my hyacinth came up. They were beautiful. Two tulips came up. But the other ones came up, and they turned yellow.
Okay. Most of the time that is caused. What kind of soil did you use?
Potting soil.
Potting soil. Did you use the potting soil that has fertilizer in it?
I just get the Miracle-Gro potting soil.
Okay. Most of that does have fertilizer in it, so that's good. So yellow leaves usually indicate low fertilizer. So probably those first few bulbs that came up, they had a chance to take in all the fertilizer, so that the last bulbs that come up, there was probably not much there. And plus, they're right at the bottom of the pot, probably. And so, So again, that was probably a fertilizer problem. So when you started to see those bulbs come up and really leaf out, get lots of foliage on them, then you should start fertilizing.
Okay. Now what do I do with the bulbs?
Oh, you can plant them in the ground or set them outside. Keep them watered from time to time. I always set mine in a pot in a shady area so they don't have to be watered very often. And wait till winter again.
Okay, just leave them in the pot and don't put them like in the basement or anything. Just put them outside.
Yeah, outside is going to be the best place for them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I did what you told me to do with my geraniums, and I have new geraniums, and the old ones are beautiful. So thank you very much. I really appreciate your show.
Well, great. Thanks for the questions.
Yep, thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Thank you. And if you'd have a question you'd like to ask Bob,
yeah,
the Master Gardener, he's been at it more than 12 years.
Yeah.
814-368-9372. Back to talking about soil. We were talking about perched?
Yeah, perched soil. Water table.
Perched water table.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But I want to talk about, I enjoy the questions, and I want to be interrupted.
Okay.
because quite often, a person is going to ask a question that others have on their mind too, but don't want to call in.
True.
Or just waiting for me to answer. So feel free to do it, because you may be doing a lot of other people a favor, and it does me a favor too, because I really enjoy that. And sometimes I just feel odd or worthless just going on with my notes.
Well, like you said, we're starting at the beginning. Interesting to me, because I have awful soil and I never know how to do it, and I never know what chemicals to add, or it's all confusing to me.
Oh, okay.
For the lawn especially. So this is fascinating to me and probably to others as well. So don't second guess yourself with your topics, because that's why you're here. But yes, phone calls, welcome, whatever we're talking about.
And even could be important for older gardeners, because this is really new information.
Oh, nice. That's the thing about science. It's always changing, right?
Yeah. And there's been
always learning some new stuff.
There's been very, very little science in home gardening. Most of our science comes from big ag agriculture.
Right, right.
Woo. I haven't said that term in a long time, so it's hard to get out. Yeah. So any new information is very helpful. So by digging that old clay out and putting in fresh soil, we may have created what we call a perched water table, where water can pond up. And so we want to avoid that. So how can we just amend the soil without digging it all out? And of course, we're going to end up with a mound of soil. And over time, as that soil compacts and different items in it start to decay, it goes back down. So some of my recommendations is we got to break up that clay first. And sometimes that can be very hard. Sometimes it wants to stay in these big clumps, even clumps the size of a soccer ball. So it's a good idea to add a good amount of peat moss first, or even old mulch or old sawdust, old manure, anything like that. I kind of prefer the peat moss, especially early in the spring when the soil's all damp. The peat moss, you open it up, it's dry. It'll help absorb some of the water right away and helps break up that clay matter right away. And that's what we want to do. Clay is not a bad thing. Clay is really essential in our soil.
But in the right mixture, right?
You're right, in the right mixture.
Mm-hmm.
So adding that peat moss and then rototilling it or turning it over, breaking up the clumps, and then adding any other organic matter that we can. You know, I mentioned some there, grass clippings, leaves, compost, manure, any of those things. Add as much as you possibly can, as to the point where if your clay soil, you're digging down a foot deep, let's say, we want to add 6 inches on top of amended soil. So 50% of that clay should be organic matter mixed in. And then we'll have real good ground to start with. And we won't have that perched water table.
Is there a telltale way to know that you have the right mixture and you're ready to plant?
Yeah, yeah. When the soil gets really dark, and a good one, and I'm going to mention this with other things too. If you have clay soil, first, let me try to describe that. That looks like coffee with too much cream in it. It's really light colored, very tan. A good garden soil will be like black coffee, real dark and crumbly in your hand. You can't even make a ball out of it. Clay soil, you can form into a ball, form into any shape you want, and it doesn't really break apart. And some of us even have clay soil to where you can dig out a clump and put it on the ground and step on it, and it won't even break apart. So that's where really a rototiller is going to come in handy. Unless you got a lot of energy, you can still do it with a pitchfork and other tools, hand tools like that. Just takes a little more time. So that's going to kind of describe what clay and good soil looks like.
Great.
So that's what you should be headed to. Now, you may not be able to accomplish it in the very first year. It takes a little time for that to really truly mix in. So be patient. You know, your first year, don't expect to get 60 tomatoes on a tomato plant. Maybe you only get 20 or 30 on your tomato plant. But that's a good start. That's a real good start. So that kind of covers soil for me. Don't add sand. Sand and clay don't mix well. That just makes bricks, makes them even harder.
Okay.
I know some people have done that with success, and I say, gosh, you're lucky.
Yeah.
but I don't add sand to the soil mix. Just add organic matter, like I said, old mulch, compost, leaves, grass clippings, peat moss, peat moss, peat moss. It's a great thing. There's a lot going on in peat moss that we don't really see. There's even, and hasn't really been studied enough yet, not in a scientific way.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You'd think that, you know.
There's very little science.
That's really weird.
Yeah, very, very, and it's really upsets me. There's been very little science done on home gardening because there's really not a whole lot of money.
I was just going to say, right. That, who's it going to benefit? Not a major corporation to sponsor that.
It's going to, big agriculture, that guy growing 10,000 tomato plants, he's going to get all the scientists.
Exactly.
And help from him. So you have to rely on other sources. And there's a lot of sources out there that claim to be experts. I'm not claiming to be an expert. I'm claiming to be an experienced gardener.
Now, here's the thing about home gardening, though. I think we have a lot of new gardeners because of the COVID situation. People are starting to open their eyes and say, wow, that didn't take long for, you know, when people started to freak out at first to clear out the shelves.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for food?
Yeah.
Well, how about self, you know, sustaining?
Yeah. And, you know, and it can be easily done too, Igor. You don't even need a plot of ground. You can grow just about every single vegetable in a pot.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And a lot of us do that. I do have a patch of ground that I grow my vegetables, but I have several pots. I'll say half a dozen of them that I love to grow some of my vegetables just in the pots right there on the porch or patio. You know, it's real handy and I get to really see them real closely every year. And so even a pot can make a great garden. So don't be afraid to even try that. But when you do use a pot, don't use garden soil. That's a whole different environment than the ground. Use potting soil in a pot. garden soil. And again, some people are going to say, well, I use garden soil every year and I have great plants in it. And I say, well, great, that's you're lucky. But potting soil has been developed for pots and for several reasons, because it stays real loose. It doesn't compact. It lets water drain through it freely. We want to let water drain through it freely. That way, it keeps our plants from getting waterlogged and stagnant water collecting in there. Real loose, so roots can expand very quickly and grow, makes the plant grow quickly.
And it's all in the name, so it's easy to remember. Potting soil.
Yeah.
For the pots.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different ones out there.
And gardening soil.
Yeah.
For the garden.
Now,
I like it.
Speaking of, I'm kind of getting off track, but since we're on that, speaking of the potting soil, it's a good practice not to reuse it year after year, because it does get depleted. You've grown a crop in it, we say, or a plant, let's say a tomato plant. But again, you can grow any kind of plant in a pot. We've grown that tomato plant in there one whole year. It's probably taken everything that's nutritious and good for it, minerals and so on, out of that soil. So we want to remove about a shovel deep, if you have a big pot. And this is what I recommend, about a 20-inch pot for gardening in a pot, in a container. So take about a shovel full deep. You don't have to remove it all, but a shovel full deep and put new in.
Just on the top.
On the top, yeah. Not just 2 or 3 inches. You know, I'm talking about 10 to 12 inches.
Okay. Now, do you have to mix it in with the stuff that's already in there?
No.
On the bottom? Put new on the top.
Just put new on the top.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
And then you'll have a nice fresh patch of soil for the plant to get all the nutrients it needs and to let water and the fertilizer to get down deep into the roots. We want to make sure those roots go deep, you know, and so if we had regular garden soil, it can become hard, and the water may just go down just a few inches in the fertilizer, so it forces the plant to feed at shallow systems, and that can cause a lot of problems with watering. Okay. It's time for a break, isn't it?
It is, but we'll be right back. And, of course, the phone lines are open, waiting for your calls for Master Gardener Bob Harris, 814-368-9372, 368-WESB. We'll be right back with more of The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM.
Remember all those outdoor projects you thought about all winter? It's time to get started on them with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. To get your lawn and garden in shape, you'll find a variety of mulches, soils, and fertilizers, plus shovels, rakes, wheelbarrows, tarps, and more. If painting is on your list, see Worth Smith for all kinds of quality paints and stains, brushes, rollers, and even scaffolding. Whatever you need for your springtime projects, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And Master Gardener Bob Harris here to talk to you and to answer your questions at 814-368-9372. And we're talking about soil today.
Yeah, I think we talked enough about soil.
Well, what else do you have for us?
Now I want to talk about planting.
Well, okay,
the
so
next step.
We have our soil, now let's plant stuff in it. Okay.
Now, when you buy a plant and it's potted, it has that top level there. You want that top level to be even with the top of your soil or above. Now, I prefer a little bit above. Now, with vegetables and annuals, it's going to be different. You can put them right down level with the soil. But trees and shrubs and perennials, let the top of the root ball stick out of the ground a little bit. Because the next step after planting is we're going to firm up the soil all around it. That's probably going to make that plant sink a little bit. And then we're going to add mulch. And so that brings it right up to the level of that soil line that it was in the container. So that's important. And the reason for all that is plants need air as much as they need water. And you'll hear me say that a lot because it's important. if we planted a plant too deep, most plants, there are a couple that are the exception.
There's always going to be an exception.
Yeah. If we plant a plant a little bit too deep, the roots are down deep in the soil. The deeper they go, the less oxygen there is. So, of course, it's getting harder and harder for them to breathe. So by keeping it up high, now the top roots may dry out, but most of the time those roots near the surface are there to just breathe in air, not to collect water.
They have different jobs. So yeah, it's okay that they're dried out. Yeah.
There are several different kinds of roots. A good example is if you have a nice big maple tree or some kind of tree in your yard, and it's really bugging you because the roots are getting real near the surface. Those roots are important. The tree purposely put them on the surface to breathe air. And so sometimes some people will say, well, geez, the grass doesn't grow very well underneath that tree. I'll add 6 inches of soil, and then I can plant some perennials under there. And that will look a lot better. Those roots are going to, within 6 to 8 weeks, those roots are going to come right back up to that 6 inches of soil up to the surface because they've got to breathe air. So they're looking for that airspace. So, and you can do that though. You can do that, but be aware that those roots are going to come straight back up.
Oh, that's crazy. No matter what age of the tree.
Doesn't matter what age. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, even old trees need to breathe.
Yeah, but one thing's that they're already set in their ways, right? Like, they're not going to do anything else with their roots because they've been there for years.
Okay, it's not the same root.
Right.
They're developing new roots.
Yeah.
And really, a maple tree can do it within a couple weeks.
Wow.
Start sending up those little hair roots right to the very surface. And, of course, as the years go by, they get bigger and bigger.
That's so weird. Like, they have, like, they're conscious, you know?
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
That's, wow.
Yeah. And
they know what they need.
Yes, they do. And I'm going to talk about that consciousness sometime during the show. I don't want to get into it right now. but they do have a thinking process. So planting it a bit high, planting it a bit low is going to be a disaster. Now, the plant may survive, but it'll never thrive like it should. Planting them high, they'll adjust to that quickly. They'll get the air supply they need, and the deeper roots will get the water supply they need, and the plant can thrive in that respect. You know, even think about it when you plant a seed. Most of the seeds, you know, are right on the surface or only an inch down. So they're right at the surface. That's where a plant wants to start to grow. So don't plant them deep. Plant all plants high, except one exception that I'll get into. There's a few others, but I'm just going to mention the one to keep it easy, the tomato plant. Mm-hmm. It has the ability to develop roots all along its main stem. So it's a good idea to get a very good tomato plant to get more roots on it. So if we plant that a little bit deeper, you know, it come out of that little pot that's only 3 or 4 inches deep, we can, and let's say the tomato plant is 6 inches tall. We can plant it another 3 inches deep to ensure that we'll get a much bigger root system, and that's a much better plant. Just with the tomato plant.
All right. That's the exception. Got it. Well, one of the exceptions.
Oh, yeah.
368-9372 to get a hold of Bob Harris at the Gardening Show. We have a call now. Let's go to it. Hi, good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Bob? Well, I guess not. I took too long to get to it, Bob.
Sorry.
That's my fault. My fault. Because I'm the one pressing the buttons. Oh. It's always my fault.
Okay. I'll take that.
So we got through the tomato plant as the exception to planting.
And the planting, yeah. So plant your plants high. As a matter of fact, when you're planting a tree or a shrub out in the yard, you know, and you remove a bit of soil, mix it all up, amend it if it needs to, you're going to end up with a mound of soil, maybe even a 6-inch mound. And that's a good thing. That's where we want to put our plant, in the center of that mound. If we don't, if we remove that sod and then dig down and then dig the hole, put the plant in the hole, and then backfill it, and it's right level with our yard, as time goes by, that all that soil that we've disturbed is going to compact, so that now that whole area becomes a little bit lower, and it's the opposite of a perched water table.
Ah, right.
Now we've got a pond. We got a call, too, don't we, Dad?
Yes, we do. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Bob. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I said it before, say it again. This is the best program on WSB.
Hey.
I didn't even pay you to say that, did I? Maybe
Bob,
I did.
Question.
Yes.
Okay, it's only May 1st.
Yeah.
Plant till after the first weekend of June. So do you buy your plants now for outside there? Where do you put them? In a garage? Will it survive, you know?
That's a real good question, because a lot of people got discouraged last year because when they went to buy their plants, there wasn't any left.
Yeah.
So it's a touchy situation. It's a little early to get your plants now. I'm talking about the annuals and vegetables.
Right.
It's fine to get trees and shrubs and perennials. You can plant them anytime the ground is not frozen.
Right.
But for those annuals and perennials, or annuals and vegetables, try to wait at least till Mother's Day. Then you can get them. And if the weather looks like it's going to be bad, leave them outside. But if that night looks like it's going to get cold, bring them inside to a protected area. Don't leave them in there all day long, especially a garage. A garage can be full of fumes, and those fumes will affect the plants a great deal.
Uh-huh.
So bring them in at night, take them back out in the daytime, and keep them well watered. And then when the time is right for you to plant, and we all have a different time for that, you know. A lot of us have success going around mid-May. Some of us will wait till even June 1st to start planting. But just watch the weather. The weather's so unpredictable anymore.
I know.
It used to be a rule that we waited till the first and second week of June. Now it's common to start planting in
When I was working, I had a chance to transfer to Hawaii, but my wife didn't want to move. I should have said aloha.
Yeah, did you enjoy the snow last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Thanks so much for calling into the gardening show.
I'm glad he brought that up. So, yeah, it's going to be, again, because the popularity of gardening is continuing, a lot of new ones, and some of us older ones are doing a little more of it. So products may be hard to find. So when you see it, I would get it. But remember that you may have to protect it for a while. It's going to be a little extra work there. But to ensure that you're going to get your plants, we only have 3 minutes left. I'm not supposed to read that out loud, huh?
I'm saying, I keep showing you these notes. I'm like, no, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Hey, we have another call, though.
I couldn't help it.
Hi, you're on the air on the gardening show.
Yeah, I just have a question. I have a hydrangea that I got last year, planted late in the summer.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't look like it's coming back. It looks like it's actually dead. I don't know if it's dormant or what.
Okay, some plants
told me to do.
Huh?
I said I did everything where I bought the plant from. They told me to do.
Okay, good.
They said water it really good at first, and then after that it'll eventually catch on. So I did water it a lot, but I wonder, could I have overwatered it?
Oh yeah, that's possible. Biggest mistake in gardening is overwatering. But with the hydrangea, now some of those varieties are very late to leaf out. So I would be patient. Give it some time.
Okay.
And there's other plants, one in particular, Rosa Sharon, that's one of the last to leaf out. You won't even see a leaf on that till June. So some of the hydrangeas just are real slow starters. So don't give up.
So there's nothing I should do to it? This is called a blue castle?
Okay. Yep, nothing you should do to it. Just give it some more time.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Good luck on your growing.
Another real good question. Some people get excited that their plant's not doing anything yet. The grass is growing and dandelions are blooming. Why isn't my tree or shrub doing anything? Some are just really slow to get going in the spring. So just be patient.
It's not just a saying. There's a term, late bloomer.
That's right.
Yeah, right?
That's probably where it came from.
Well, we have about a minute and a half, so...
Okay, and then so I mentioned...
Last pointer of the day.
Biggest mistake all gardeners will make, and that's including guys that have been doing it for 50 years and more, will overwater, and it's easy to do. We spent money on that plant. We want to make sure it survives, and we know that plants need water, so we tend to overwater a lot, especially on a hot day. When our plant looks like it's wilted, we automatically think it needs water. That may not be the case. It may be wet, but it's evaporating water quicker than it can absorb water. So do a little soil test, you know, stick your finger in, scratch the soil. If it looks like that black coffee, then it's probably wet, or if it feels wet, it is wet. If it's in a pot, if the pot's real light, then it's probably dry, but if it's heavy, it's probably wet. So try to ignore it if it's wet. It's going to wilt sometimes.
But we will want to make sure it needs our help, Bob. I made this investment. I need to get some water in the thing.
We can do more damage by overwatering than we can by underwatering.
It's patience, patience, patience.
Yes.
And with that, we wrap up the first episode of The Gardening Show for this season.
Great.
Thank you so much for coming in, Bob.
You bet.
Back next week. We'll see you then. And get those phone calls coming in here, 368-9372. And get your questions. And also, you can email us, garden@wesb.com. We'll see you next week on B107.5.